Dr. Dre, let's pump it up, pump it
Blog
up.
Talk Radio.
It's for you, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
For the Who Dat Nation, baby.
Oh. Okay, okay, okay. Ah! Oh.
Y'all know what time it is. Time to get crunk.
What? Ready, Rob?
Here we go.
Yeah, I like that, man. I like me and my brother. We came to get you hooked. Now, obviously, Robert's not my brother, but, you know, obviously, he's another type of brother. But that's all we do. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. Today is February the 4th, and 2014. It's been a minute. We appreciate everyone dealing with our schedules and holidays and travel and all that good stuff. But we are back officially here. Andre's back from the Pro Bowl. Rob is back from the Senior Bowl. It's what we do, but we have some fun. But, of course, I'm Andre Peterson. I want to definitely check in with my co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, couldn't be better, Doc. Got a four-mile run in today, man. Feeling great.
That's good, man. And Rob, definitely, he's ready to roll. So, once again, we always like to throw out numbers for those who want to call into this show to share your thoughts. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, we're going to recap the Super Bowl. When I'm sure everyone's been doing that, but this is obviously from the 12th man perspective. Obviously, our namesake with the Seahawks. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl next year, previewing some NFL draft, and also we're going to talk about National Signing Day, which is obviously tomorrow. We'll touch base on that. Maybe dip into some NBA as well as some Lakers talk and some NBA talk and some fantasy basketball shout-outs, as well as a nice little shout-out for Syracuse, too. So real quick, I'm going to throw out the numbers for those that want to call into the show. The number is 424-243-9519. And also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, and then Man Sports, and then also via Facebook. We have the page. If you go to Facebook.com, put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Woo! It's a mouthful. I apologize. But, Mr. Rob, man, I'm sure you and the rest of America were pretty shocked, if you're thinking from my perspective, as far as the Super Bowl, man. And I thought it was going to be a pretty equal game, Rob. You know, you had the number one defense versus the number one offense. I thought it was going to be back and forth. What do you think happened and the way that Seattle was able to dominate? Clearly, I thought it was very unexpected, sir.
Well, I would totally agree with you. It was definitely unexpected. But, you know, it's easy for us to recap the game and say it's obvious that Denver hadn't played against a defense like that all season. I don't think they've seen a defense with that kind of physicality or that kind of speed when it comes to pass rushing, as well as the speed in their linebackers and secondary. And they not only have speed, but they're physical as well. And I don't think the Broncos have seen a defense like that all season. They just ran into a buzzsaw, and things just snowballed against them in the ball game. And obviously you got to get Pete Carroll. You know, a lot of people talk about Pete Carroll and his rah-rah style, but if you look at this football team, they're very, very sound football team with everything that they do. They're very well coached. You know, I think all we see is the rah-rah Pete Carroll, but you can see the preparation is there, and this team is fundamentally sound football as there's any team out there right now. And so you got to give you credit. You know, congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks. And they're tremendous fans on an incredible season. And you know, yeah, it's clear that they were the best team in the National Football League, especially after that performance.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you, do you think that this is going to change the perspective as far as college coaching? I mean, you know the impact with Pete Carroll. There's been now a couple of coaches that have been successful from college into the NFL, and also do you think that this is going to kind of change the NFL's perspective? We know that it is a copycat league. I want to talk to you about that. also talk about the defense that Seattle had. Is this going to do a shift as far as the draft, too, as far as how GMs are going to draft players now? Because, you know, a couple years ago you would have told me, and I'm sure you know from New Orleans, they have such a dominant offense that you can pretty much get by with having a pretty average defense, Rob. Nowadays, the way that Seattle played, it seems like they can shut down the great offenses, you know, of a Peyton Manning, of, you know, you got the Packers, you got some teams that have really explosive offenses. Do you think this is going to shift, you know, not only for the draft, but also, you know, coming in for most GMs? So I know I kind of hit you with two-part questions here, so, you know, feel free to expound on whatever point you want to talk about, and we'll keep moving as always, sir.
Well, I'm going to talk about the college coach of the NFL first. I think when you look at Pete Carroll, I think most people remember him from his days at USC. But I think Pete Carroll all along was an NFL coach. He just so happened to go to coach in college for a little while. You look at his time as a defensive coordinator in the National Football League. You look at his time as being a head coach with the Jets. You look at his time when he was a head coach with the Patriots. And I think a lot of people forget this, that, you know, when he was the head coach of the Patriots, he never had a losing season. Went to the playoffs every year. They just couldn't get over the hump, and the Patriots wound up getting rid of him. And Pete Carroll made an interesting assessment. They asked him about his time with New England compared to his time with the Seahawks right now. And he said, the difference is, he says, I get to buy the groceries and cook the dinner with Seattle. I didn't get that opportunity with New England. You know, somebody else was buying the groceries, but I had to cook the dinner. And, you know, in a nutshell, we all know what that means as sports fans, is that he didn't get to pick the players. He just had to coach them. But now in Seattle, he's got a lot of say, and he's able to put together his own, you know, kind of roster the way he likes it, which he was able to do at USC. You know, in college, you're able to get to recruit the players that you want to your style of play. And so, as you can see, that formula kind of works better for him as opposed to somebody else buying the groceries.
Rob, do you think he earned that, though? I mean, because obviously first coming in, I mean, he may have earned it earlier, so not to cut you off, but that may be a process where he had to earn that thing to get that. I'm just, you know, kind of piggybacking on what you're talking about that.
Well, you're right. I mean, obviously he probably had to go to USC to probably prove that he can do that and have some success. But I thought he made a good analogy of that's the difference between his time now in Seattle compared to his time with New England. And once again, he never had a losing season in New England, and they just couldn't get over the hump. And he felt like if he had a little bit more say in the players, they could have probably had more success then.
Gotcha. Okay. Carry on.
I think, you know, that was a, you know, an interesting assessment. Mm-hmm. And your next question was regarding the Seahawks defense. What was that question again?
Yeah, I was talking about, so obviously before, do you think it has an effect because you know that the NFL, it is a copycat league, and you know, because of the success of the Seattle defense, you think that's going to definitely change the draft, or GM's going to start copying that formula as far as saying, hey, you know what, before we had a lot of dominant offenses, and you know, from coming from, you know, New Orleans and whatnot. Now, is there a shift possible in the draft where defense becomes more of a priority as opposed to having that dominant offense? Because as you can see, if you have a pretty good defense, you can shut down certain offenses. So I just kind of want to get your feedback as far as that, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a copycat league. And I think anytime a team has success, you know, teams are as much as possible going to try to copy them. And, you know, I always hear Sean Payton say when he took over for the Saints and in 2006, yeah, he said the first thing we did was we looked at teams that were successful, and at that time it was mainly the New England Patriots. And so Sean Payton says they studied the New England Patriots ins and outs of everything that they do. And so I think you're going to see a lot of teams doing the same thing with the Seattle Seahawks now, especially new coaches, new head coaches, I'm sure. You know, a lot of old coaches probably still going to be setting their ways, of course. But any smart head coach is going to look at what the Seahawks just did and try to emulate their roster as much as possible, especially from the defensive side of the ball. And you look at this secondary, Pete Carroll, I think one of the geniuses in his mindset here, when he took over for the Seahawks, You know, one of the things that in his analogy of the NFL was going to these tall, bigger wide receivers. And so he felt like he needed to get tall guys in the secondary too, where most teams in the league are still getting these 5'10", 5'11", cornerbacks, to where as Pete Carroll came in and says, hey, we're going to need to match size for size because a lot of these big receivers are just posting up these cornerbacks and just going up and catching the football. And so I think that was one, I think one thing you got to get Pete Carroll from, he came in, got his own assessments, and it looks like he hit the jackpot on it.
Very, very good. So like I said, man, good job, Rob, as far as I know. I hit him with a couple questions, too, as far as talking about the Seahawks and their style and what's been going on with that, too. So, you know, that's a good recap. Let's kind of talk about fast forward to next year with the collectiving, with the CBA and free agency. Any team can, obviously win the Super Bowl next year, but the Seattle's young. I mean, do you think they're still going to be hungry enough to repeat as Super Bowl champions? There's some teams that didn't make the playoffs this year that want to get back into it. I know there's some teams with injuries. Obviously, it's very early. Super Bowl's just over. Who do you think has a good shot of coming into next year? Obviously looking at draft stuff too as well.
Well, when you look at the Seattle football team, based on what I can see, the only player of significance that's going to be a free agent is Michael Bennett, a defensive end. And so this team could very well be contending again next year. I know it's extremely hard to repeat this day and age, but it's hard at this present time, it's hard to pick against the Seahawks not going back to the Super Bowl. And obviously this is a Saints fan talking. I would love to see my Saints in the Super Bowl next year, but at this present time, it's kind of hard for me to see anybody topping the Seahawks team at the way their roster is, currently structured.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, nice. I would have to say they would be the favorite going into next season.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's a good point. Now, the only thing that I think that could slightly derail them is, like, a lot of times whenever you're young, you're hungry. And maybe that hopefully they don't get complacent, Rob. A lot of people said it's easier to fall off the mountain and get to the top of the mountain because, you know, you're trying to struggle, and then once you get there, you're like, hey, we've arrived. So we'll keep an eye on that situation. Like I said, some players may start getting money hungry, not money hungry, but they may start to think, you know what, hey, I should get this contract. That may have a play as far as them being distracted. But like you said, if Pete continues to motivate them, I think they have a good shot of repeating. You got to look at the 49ers, too, that were obviously, Rob, just kind of a straight throw away from making that, beating the Seahawks, and I think that would have been an interesting matchup as well, too. So we'll keep an eye on that. I don't know if you have any last thoughts before we get ready to wrap up the next topic, sir.
Oh, I think, that's a valid point, of course. And, if you look how bad the Broncos just lost, I mean, this is a team that's going to get Von Miller back on the defensive side of the ball, a couple other players that they lost injury-wise. And so this is a team that I think, Peyton Manning does come back, I think you're going to see them right back in the hunt as well. But at this present time, it's hard for me to bet against the Seahawks.
Yeah, if you're Peyton Manning, I really do believe, Rob, if he would have won, I think he would have, walked off and said, hey, it's been great, it's been fun, I'm out. But because of everything that happened, maybe he's got another year. And I think this is Andre's assessment. If you throw the ball as many, 50-something times, as many times as he threw it, he definitely broke the Super Bowl record for a number of completions. I think that's a disaster for – or that's a signature for disaster. I mean, you have to run the ball. You have to have more balance. Even the Broncos team, ironically, they won because they had, Terrell Davis, and he was able to bring balance to that team. That's what helped them get the Super Bowl – or helped them win the Super Bowl, excuse me, whenever John Elway. So I think that's something to be noted as well, too. So that's my little last thought about that.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment as well.
All right. Well, this is great. We are moving right along. We've got 15 minutes. So that was pretty good. We talked a lot about Super Bowl and recapping and kind of what's happening as far as next year, too. I know, Rob, I really, really want to talk about the mock drafts and kind of preview the NFL draft. Maybe we'll save that for the OT portion. We can kind of talk into that, or you want to kind of move forward to National Signing Day? I'm going to give you an option. We can kind of move from there, sir.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. Wherever we're going to go.
All right, let's do this. I'm excited. I do want to talk about the mock drafts, too, because we only got two picks, 1 through 10. I think we did. Rob did a great job as far as giving us a mock draft. It's going to change, obviously, as we know, even after what happened yesterday. Or, excuse me, playing the Super Bowl, so we'll see how that plays out. But let's talk about National Signing Day. It's tomorrow. A lot of schools are pinning their hopes and dreams on young players, 17 and 16. Anything you want to specifically highlight? I know if you're Florida State, you're excited, man, getting in the top class, as well as LSU's. You know, you got the traditional squads always doing well. Anything you want to highlight and talk about as we continue on with the show, sir?
Well, at this current moment, Alabama looks like they're going to have the number one recruiting class, and it's not even close at this current time. They got the number two high school recruit in Cameron Robinson, big offensive tackle from West Monroe, Louisiana, which I'm still upset that LSU let this guy get out of our own backyard to go to Alabama. He's number two recruit in America. Then you got the number one junior college prospect and big offensive lineman, Dominic Jackson. So immediately Alabama's got probably two of the better offensive linemen coming in, and so that offensive line is going to be intact, and they still have a bunch of other four- and five-star recruits. But I just wanted to highlight those two guys. And then you look at programs like Tennessee, Texas A&M, Ohio State, and Florida State. I mean, right now those programs are probably, at this current time, round out the top five. Now, two schools that I think could get into the top five is number one, LSU is one that expected to have a big day tomorrow. And, of course, mm-hmm. USC is another that's also expected to have a big day tomorrow. Both of those two programs could leapfrog into the top five and knock off two of those other schools out of the top five. As we speak, LSU does have the number one high school recruit in the country, running back Leonard Fournette, who a lot of people are comparing to Adrian Peterson, right out of my high school in New Orleans, St. Augustine High School, number one recruit in America, and expected to get possibly the number one wide receiver in the country in Malachi Dupree tomorrow, if he indeed signs with LSU, as well as a few other potential prospects that could leap LSU into the top five. One of the interesting things of note in this recruiting season, a lot of players in Northeast are leaving their states. Players from like Maryland and New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, those players are not staying in their home states. They're going to warmer weather states, or they're going to Ohio State and schools like that. I don't think it's that of major importance, but I just thought that was very interesting how those schools struggle to keep their better players. I look at Rutgers, for example. They're in New Jersey, but the best player they were able to keep in their home state was the 10th best player in the state, and which I thought was mind-boggling. Greg Schiano, when he was the head coach of Rutgers, he kept a lot of those players at home, and that's how he was able to build that program up for a little while. But now the best they were able to get to stay in their home state was the 10th best player, which I thought was mind-boggling. Hopefully I'm not rambling too much. I just wanted to mention a few players of note to watch on tomorrow. One is a five-star outside linebacker, Rashawn Evans. Played high school ball at Auburn, Alabama. And he's going to decide between Auburn and Alabama on tomorrow, so that should be really interesting. We got a four-star wide receiver, J.C. Jackson, who's going to decide between Florida, Florida State, and Miami on tomorrow. He's one to watch. We got a four-star quarterback, Treon Harris. At this current time, he's committed to Florida State, but there are a lot of rumors out there he could change to either Auburn or Florida. He's more of a spread quarterback, and Florida State, of course, doesn't run the spread, so Florida State would consider moving him to corner. But both Auburn and Florida is giving him the option to come run the spread, the read option quarterback for them, which Florida is changing their offensive style. Another player to watch is five-star defensive end Malik McDowell. He's going to decide tomorrow between Michigan State, Florida State, and Ohio State. He's a defensive end from Southfield, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. And so obviously he's got Michigan, Michigan State on his list, but he also has Florida State and Ohio State on his list. Another player to watch, which I think is intriguing, is five-star defensive end Solomon Thomas. He's actually from Texas, but is not considering any school in Texas. He's considering Arkansas, Stanford, and UCLA, in which my sources are telling me that he's a lean towards Stanford, so that would be a big get from David Shaw to get a five-star player out of the state of Texas to go out west, to go to the Bay Area and play for Stanford. I talked earlier about USC. USC is in position to land three possible five-star recruits on tomorrow. Adoree Jackson, he's an athlete. He's also considering LSU, Florida, and UCLA, but most people think he's a lean toward USC. You got another athlete, Juju Smith. Once again, he's a lean toward USC, but he's also looking at Oregon, Notre Dame, and UCLA. And then also five-star offensive lineman, Damian Mama. He's also a lean toward USC, but is also considering Alabama and BYU. But a lot of people feel like that USC is in the lead for all three of those five-star prospects, which could really leap them into the top five.
Another five-star recruit, man. Just wanted to throw this out there, man. Man, that's got incredible arm, cerebral. Andre Pearson, man, this dude is going to be insane, man. So keep an eye on where he's going to go, man. This dude has, like, got, like, everything, the total package, probably one of the greatest recruits ever. So I just want to throw it out there as we keep moving as well, too.
Disregard that information, America.
He's
dreaming over there. He's dreaming.
I like to throw Rob off to see what he says. But no, we're having a good time, too. But that was a fantastic analysis, Rob. There's a lot of the recruits out there, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a big day tomorrow. Are there any, like, surprises that you think that I know you mentioned that some people that are leaning back and forth. You know, I know the David Shaw is going to be huge. Anyone else that you think are going to be, like, kind of surprises, or you think it's going to be pretty much, you know, I know there's been some players that always like to change their minds on that, too, but, you know, I just wanted to, you know, anything you thought from your sources
well,
or anything like that.
That's going to be the interesting thing to watch tomorrow. Every year there's about four or five players who just throws a curveball on National Signing Day. And and so you're going to see that again this year. I don't know who those four or five players are going to be, but every year you have these curveballs at four or five players just at the last minute, just throws everyone for a loop and picks another school. These are even players that are committed to a current school right now, but on signing day signs with somebody else. So every year you get those type of situations. And so it's going to be interesting. I talked about, you know, four-star quarterback Treon Harris. Like I said, he's more of a spread option quarterback. He's at this current time is committed to Florida State, but Florida State runs a pro-style offense. So he could be one that could easily change on signing day and go to Auburn or Florida. He's probably one off the top of my head that could easily make that switch come tomorrow.
Gotcha. Thank you again, Rob, dude. Fantastic job of talking about that. So let's keep it moving. Let's talk about some NBA. You know, as you know, we're kind of sad as football fans, Rob, because that means football is over for a little while. So we got to talk about other sports.
Football season never old.
Well, I know. You know what I'm talking about. But we're going to keep it moving. We're going to talk about mock draft stuff. We're going to keep moving as always.
We got combine. We got draft. We got free agency.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, initially, you know, there as far as the game. But, yeah, we're going to keep it alive. Football is king in all world, too. Let's talk real quick about the Lakers. And it's very surprising we're talking about this because you know that we're not Lakers fans. But Steve Nash is making a comeback. Number one, are the Lakers even on the radar? Will it matter? That's the question, Rob. So I'll throw that to you, sir. What do you think?
No, the Lakers are not on the radar. I don't think Steve Nash is going to help them that much either.
Wow. Wish Claw's not coming through that door, huh? I love it, man.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, they're not walking through that door.
We'll keep it moving. But let's talk about this. This is another interesting thing. So if you're Seattle, you know, things can't get much better. You won the Super Bowl, and now there's talk that they're getting serious momentum about bringing back an NBA team. What have you heard about this one, Rob? This is pretty exciting if you're Seattle fans.
Well, I think this is probably going to be an Adam Silver project here. He's the new commissioner in the NBA, and I think it's just a matter of time. And, I mean, they had the ownership in place, was willing to invest the money and spend over $500 million to get the NBA team back in Seattle. I think it's just a matter of time. I'll be shocked in the next 2 or 3 years we're not hearing about the NBA expanding back to Seattle. And I think it's deservingly so as well. I think that's been a good NBA city for a long time, and I would like to see that market get back into the NBA.
Now, you don't think it's going to move like Oklahoma City, and they just, like I said, straight brand-new franchise starting up. If you're Kevin Durant, I'm sure you're like, dang it, I think Seattle's a great city too as well. So what do you think about that as well?
Oh, yeah, but it's definitely going to be an expansion franchise, but they're going to keep the Supersonics nickname.
Nice.
And so obviously they're keeping all of those Supersonic records. And they're going to get that Supersonic nickname back into the NBA.
Lenny Wilkins is not walking through that door. I'm just joking. We're going to have some fun. let's talk about two things. About
Jack Sigma is not walking through that door.
Jack, Death Les Shrimp is not walking through that door. Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. I love it, man. We keep moving. Great stuff. Great stuff as always. Let's give some fantasy shout-outs. We have about three and a half minutes to go. I really want to save the OT portion for previewing the NBA draft and also finish up the mock draft. So real quick, I know we'll give some fantasy shout-outs. Let's talk about Syracuse, and let's get ready to roll it nice and easy into the OT portion in our NFL draft talk.
Yeah, well, we look at this Syracuse. You look at this ball club. You know, there's quite a few NBA executives that think Tyler Ennis, the point guard for Syracuse, is a legitimate pro point guard prospect, and some even think he'd be a better NBA point guard than Kyrie Irving as far as running the team. And
wow.
So this is a guy that's doing a tremendous job for the Syracuse Orangemen, and obviously they're a contender for the national title. I'm just going to say, I know you and I talked briefly about this off the air. I think a team to watch, and I think they're starting to get hot at the right time, is Kansas. And, you know, they have Andrew Wiggins and Joel Embiid. And so they have two legitimate players. There's going to be top five picks. And, you know, come tournament time, you got superstars on any team like that. They're going to be hard to beat. So I think that's a team you're going to have to watch once we get into March Madness here.
Syracuse has almost got the perfect team, Rob. They're so well-balanced. They can beat you, you know, if you go inside, they can beat you big. And they got that crazy zone that no one can really figure out. So, you know, this is just a good squad. And you talk about a point guard. If you have to be successful, you have to have a point guard. I don't care more so in college basketball than any sport. I mean, obviously in the NBA as well too. But if you have a really good point guard, you're able to go really far too. So this is a team that, they're definitely more well balanced than they had. With Carmelo, even though Carmelo was an amazing player in college, but good squad. You like where they're going with that too. Go ahead. We got about 90 seconds, so I'll let you finish up your last slide as we get ready to have OT's portion too. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things you got to love about Jim Boeheim's team is the team's going to always be very sound defensively, and he's always going to have some good athletes on his team as well. And so this is definitely going to be a team that's going to be contending. And definitely going to have a shot to get to the Final Four. And but right now, like I said, my sleeper to win it all will be Kansas. And we'll have to wait and see if that holds true. I mean, right now they're number 8 in the country. And but I just think once you get a couple of superstars on your team, they might be able to carry you come March Madness.
Gotcha. We got about 40-something seconds, Rob. Let's set the OT portion real quick in next week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate you all tuning into our show tonight. I'm sorry our time has come to an end here tonight for our live portion is, but tomorrow, tune in again and catch our OT portion, especially for our draft fans. We got some great information as far as the NFL draft, so you definitely want to tune in and catch that tomorrow. Meanwhile, join us on next Tuesday night for our next week's show. We'll be back 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Good night, America.
And I was in Hawaii. I definitely remember we definitely kicked it off in Hawaii, too. Thank you, people. We'll see you guys next week, and take and stay tuned to the OT portion.
Aloha.
All right, Rob. Aloha, yes, mahalo, all that good jazz. All right, so we are officially to the OT portion. Let's preview the NFL draft for next year, too. I know there's a couple of different ways we can go. We did such a great job as far as doing the first top 10 picks. And I'm just going to go over those real quick, and we'll do some analysis for the next picks, too, because I'm sure if you are a fan of your squad that you're going to probably say, hey, this is what I would do or kind of directions I would go to. So, and like I said, Rob, I always appreciate you taking the time to do that. I'm sure you're going to have a couple more. Maybe we'll post it to the page, too, and get some feedback on that as well, too. But just recapping real quick, you had Teddy Bridgewater going to Houston. You had Sammy Watkins going to Clemson. Jacksonville taking Blake Bortles. Cleveland taking Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. Oakland getting Jadeveon Clowney, which breaks my heart, maybe. Atlanta getting Jake Matthews. Tampa Bay, Greg Robinson. Minnesota, Derek Carr, the quarterback from Fresno State. Buffalo getting Anthony Barr, a very, very excited player. And then Detroit actually getting Justin Gilbert, the cornerback from Oklahoma State. So that's what we had for the first top 10 picks. Now we're going to take another step back. This is a very, very deep draft, 98 juniors. We already talked about that. But now you got Tennessee here, and let's talk a little bit about the next couple of picks here. What do you think about Khalil Mack, the defensive end slash outside linebacker for Buffalo? How do you think you got him going? And this is a guy, too, that him and Barr, they're saying these guys are pretty explosive players.
Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of people obviously don't know who Khalil Mack is, coming from the University of Buffalo. But this guy's an explosive edge rusher. In the mold of a Von Miller, you know, I think he's explosive off the edge. Tennessee needs some help rushing the passer. This could be a great fit for them. And this is a guy that's going to be, I think he's going to come in and have instant impact. Especially, we talked about teams copying the Seattle. He's a similar type pass rusher that Seattle have on their rosters right now in Clemens. And, of course, the other guy that I'm drawing a blank right now.
Bruce Irvin?
Irvin, not Irvin, is the other guy on the team.
Cliff Averill?
Cliff Averill, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
He's in that mode. And, you know, you can throw Bruce Irvin in the mid. Irvin has not had kind of impact, only two or three sacks this year. But Irvin, you know, when he does get it, he's still in that similar type of mode as well. So I guess you can even throw him in that mix. But Mack is a similar type of player.
I wonder if, obviously, Bruce Irvin, obviously, he got some – I think he was suspended, if I'm not mistaken, too, if that had something to do with that as well, too. But that's kind of scary that he was kind of one of their better players, and he was even in that particular reserve role, too. So, kind of scary. This is an interesting pick. If you're a Giants fan, I've got a good Giants friend at work, Rob. He was telling me he brought an old picture of the Hefty Lefty. I know that's just kind of funny. He brought that up too. But he was telling me that he really thought that the Giants needed offensive line help. So you kind of went against the grain to have them picking Darquez Denard, the cornerback from Michigan State. Not a bad pick. Great, great pick. But why did you go this? You think they're going to pick up offensive line help later, or is kind of they're kind of picking the best player on the board?
Absolutely. I think when you look at this Giants football team, there's no doubt about it. They need help on the offensive line desperately. But if you look at their defense, they need help in the secondary desperately as well. As teams like the Eagles just torched their secondary, as well as quite a few other teams did as well. And you look at even Seattle torched their secondary. Denver torched their secondary. And so this team desperately needs help on the back end of their defense. And obviously, you know, if they're going to be able to stay in some of these ball games, they're going to have to rectify both of these positions. So at this point, you try to take the better player of the two positions. I think they need them. They need both desperately. And Darquez Denard, I mean, what a phenomenal year you had from Michigan State this year. Michigan State probably had one of the better defenses in the country this year. And Denard
tremendous.
Was a big reason why.
Tremendous defense. That was almost similar to the Seattle defense, man. They were just a great defense, too. So
yeah, a lot of people don't realize the Michigan State team finished the season like second or third ranked team in the country, quietly.
Yeah, yeah, great, great squad, good coaching job, too. So I digress. I'm a big fan of them as well. St. Louis, now. St. Louis, this is kind of gravy, Rob. If you're the Rams, Let's say that you do go and you pick Sammy Watkins. You're thinking, man, you know, jackpot, we sign off. You have them picking Cody Ealy, a defensive end from Missouri. Not a bad pick. There's a couple areas I can go. I'm thinking, number one, I could go offensive line. I know they signed Jake Long. But I also may think this may be a surprise, either a trade down and or what do you think the possibility of them getting a quarterback? Because now you can basically say, Sam Bradford, yeah, watch your back. What do you think about that in the interim as well, too, sir?
Well, based on my sources, the Rams would like to give Bradford another year as being their starting quarterback. They don't want to give up on him just yet. They still believe he's got potential. So based on everything that I'm hearing, the Rams will not draft a quarterback in the first round. It doesn't mean he won't draft one in later rounds to possibly develop. But Bradford is going into next season as their starting quarterback. And so they won't take one in the first round. And Coney Ealy is a heck of a football player. Obviously, when we look at his Rams team, they have Chris Long and they have, you know, Robert Quinn. But Jeff Fisher wants to have as many pass rushers as possible on his team. And we all know Greg Williams is now the new defensive coordinator for the Rams. He's going to mix and match these guys. Greg Williams is going to give a lot of 3-4 looks with his defense. He's going to rotate between 3-4 and 4-3. He's going to give teams multiple looks, and he's going to draft the best player available on defense. And at this position, it will be Coney Ealy. You can also say the Rams could also need a little help on offensive line, too, as well. That could be another option to go here at 13.
Gotcha. Chicago, you got them taking Taylor Lewan, the tackle, the huge big tackle from Michigan. Now, another surprising pick. Now, like I said, I'm not questioning you, Rob. I'm just kind of bringing just some dialogue to the conversation, too. So I'm impressed with what you put here, so don't think this is me picking at you. I just kind of want to get some thoughts here, too. So Chicago, their defense, they've been known for having a great defense. Under Mark Trestman, that sort of has shifted from the Lovie Smith era, and you have them taking, like I said, offensive tackle. Do you think that obviously that defense could be a pick here, or you think this is going to strictly this player once again available right here?
Well, I think the Bears still would like to get another tackle. I mean, Jermaine Bushrod was a nice pickup last year in free agency, starting at the left tackle. They still feel like they have some areas on the offensive line that they can get better at. Jay Cutler still got sacked quite a bit last year. And so I think this is an area where they can definitely improve at. I think defensive line is an area you can look at for the Bears as well.
Like it.
So I can definitely see them going Taylor Lewan here, or they can even go Tim Jernigan here as well.
That's what I thought at first, too. But like you said, I like it. We're going to keep moving. Let's talk about Pittsburgh. The number 15 pick, Marquise Lee, the very, very amazing, talented playmaker from USC. It looks like the Steelers may, if you had him going this route, that way it's going to help out the offense for sure, sir.
Yeah, well, they're looking for another weapon to go out on the other side of Antonio Brown. Emmanuel Sanders is a free agent. Don't know what's going to happen there. I will say this is wide receiver is one of the more deeper positions in this draft. So there's going to be a lot of good wide receivers even going in the third, fourth round in this draft that's going to have an impact. And this is a loaded position in this draft. So there are a lot of impact players. Marquise Lee is great speed. He's vertical. And he can definitely add some explosiveness to the Steelers' offense, which I think needs some more explosiveness.
How about the Cowboys, number 16? Suffice to say, as much as we want them to draft a quarterback, they're not going that route. Tim Jernigan, defensive tackle from Florida State. Cowboys can use a lot of things, but I like the pick. What do you think about this move?
Well, I think you're thinking here is, you know, Rod Marinelli is a new defensive coordinator now. They demoted Monty Kiffin to defensive assistant. And Rod Marinelli likes having these defensive tackles that can rush the passer. Tim Jernigan is that guy. I think he will release some of the pressure off DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer. So I think this would be a great impact player, a great move. Dallas defense was atrocious last year. And Jernigan can help them out in the pass rush as well as stopping the run.
If you're Baltimore, you're probably thinking, man, this is almost my lucky day if C.J. Mosley, the inside linebacker from Alabama, drops it in. You talk about a tremendously talented player. Dare I say, I'm not going to say he's going to be like the next Ray Lewis, but you talk about a guy that just has a lot of moxie. This is a great, kind of one of those key meets lock players that fits Baltimore, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're still trying to find an answer to replacing Ray Lewis, and Mosley could be a good fit for this team. To add some tenacity to their defense, I think will be a perfect fit for their 3-4 defense. He comes out of a 3-4 defense at Alabama. So this was like a hand fitting right into the glove kind of pick, as you mentioned, if Mosley falls here in Baltimore.
The Jets, man, I know we like picking on the Jets, but they were surprised this last year. They played very well. Geno Smith is still going to have some growing pains, but looks like they decided to hitch the wagon to Geno Smith as long as Rex Ryan is there. You got them taking Mike Evans, another talented wide receiver from Texas A&M. I can also say they could go running back here, but maybe a little too early first round. But great, great move. Tell us about why you had them picking Mike Evans. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with this pick.
Well, there's no doubt about it. This team needs some explosiveness on the offense, and they got some solid play at the running back position from Chris Ivory. And the other guy on their roster whose name is drawing a blank here. I apologize about that to our listeners. And Bilal Powell, I believe is his name.
Yeah,
running back. Both had a very good year for the Jets running the football, but they need some explosiveness on the edge. Mike Evans got great size at 6'5", great speed, and he could be a great weapon. And there's some talk the Jets might get into the Michael Vick sweepstakes, too, to see if he can come in and maybe start a year or two until they get Geno Smith ready again.
Wow. Michael Vick still making headlines. I love it. That'd be an interesting move, too, as well. Let's talk about we're kind of getting into – we've got about 4 minutes or so left. We, like I said, America, this is what we talk about. We love to do kind of an NFL draft, mock draft here, so we're still going to keep talking about this because, as Rob said, football season is never over. Let's talk about Miami. Another situation where this is a perfect fit, and I'm talking about the player, the position, maybe not necessarily the player, but obviously you know what happened to the whole thing with obviously Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, Cyrus Cujo, the offensive tackle from Alabama. He got a little exposed, though, Rob, I think with speed rushes. But, you know, hopefully he'll get his technique down. And you have them going to take him, the Dolphins taking him, too. And obviously they lost Jake Long. So go ahead and expound upon this particular pick that you thought.
Well, absolutely. You know, you look at all the deflections from their offensive line. Brian Tannehill got sacked more than any other quarterback in the National Football League this past season. So Cyrus will be a great addition to this ball club. And on a team that desperately needs help on the offensive line at this moment.
Gotcha. All right, we're making moves here. I think we're going to wrap it up with, maybe I'll jump to 21 here. Arizona. Cedric, how do you pronounce his last name? Ojibwe? Offensive tackle from Texas A&M.
Ogbuoji.
Is it Ogbuoji? Now, like I said, I may not know a lot about this, same thing as America, about Cedric. What do you think about this particular pick? He obviously plays opposite from Jake Matthews, with Jake Matthews still in a lot of the headlines. For those who don't know, tell us a little about Cedric as we get ready to wrap up